Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, a place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd. It's Season 8, Episode 888. And Dave, I know we've touched on this before, but at least according to iTunes and our file count, it's Episode 1000. The one thing I can promise you is that it definitely isn't Episode 1000, but we got all sorts of numbers going on today. Appropriate for kind of the end of the league year.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you're right. I mean, with the way I've probably mislabeled a couple of files over the years, and the special edition podcast and the training camp ones and all like that, it's hard to know exactly where we're at. But I guarantee you there's been more than 1,000 or at least 1,000 episodes. So I was telling Alex the other day, it's quite of an accomplishment. And who knew that we would have this many shows this many years down the line? And it's just exciting to see the listenership grow that the way it has over the years. And you know, here we are about to start the 2018 league year. And, you know, we'll talk about a few things that the Steelers have done and all like that or expected to do in the coming day or by this evening, I guess. And then a couple of things that they've reportedly already done as well, along with several other things that have transpired around the league.
Yeah. Look, this is, we have small lulls in the NFL season. And certainly from when your team gets knocked out to this period of time, you know, if you're going to pick a lull, that's, you know, this and then the kind of end of May, early June until your training camp opens, really the two lull parts of the season. But I will tell you, as you well know, from, you know, you get to the start of the new league season, these couple days leading into that where teams are setting themselves up so that they're compliant with the financial and the cap situation, and then the craziness that becomes that will start tomorrow at 4 p.m. officially, which really to some degree is, you know, we've already seen some of that start. So we'll have that craziness go on, and that'll roll us into kind of the beginning of April, really. And then you have the month-long focus on the draft. That'll take us down to Dallas at the end of April. And Dallas, I think it's Dallas this year, right? And then and then you go through that process, and you get to meet the guys who are going to be part of the organization early May in the OTAs and that type of activity, and then you have another lull. So I'm sure our listenership will be cranking up here over the next couple of episodes as we get into this new stuff. So let's start it off with the couple things we do know with the Steelers, or we think we know. And, you know, it's what we've talked about a lot. We speculate on what the Steelers are going to do, and Mike Mitchell's the biggest name here. It looks like, we haven't heard it officially from the Steelers, but it looks like the Steelers are going to let go of Mike Mitchell by 4 o'clock on Wednesday or around that time, and William Gay will be let go as well. Gay, not that much of a surprise. Mike Mitchell, I think, you know, we've talked about it, you know, over the years that Mike Mitchell's been a member of this team. He is not the Steeler fan base's favorite player. He's a guy who has probably been decent value for the money at $5 million a year, but certainly a guy that and has played injured a lot of his time, but certainly a guy who has been pointed to as the Steelers' pass defense has really struggled a bit over the past couple seasons.
Boy, Mitchell and William Gay out the door. Who's going to be the Steelers' the fan base's whipping boy?
You're right, right.
Now, is it, I guess
Artie Burns next up. Sean Davis next up.
Yeah, Artie Burns, or if you want to look on the edge, you know, but a guy like Bud Dupree, something along those lines. Yeah, look, I mean, you know, we talked about it. You know, I kind of wondered if they would carry Mike Mitchell just into the new league year, but you know, before we even get started on this, here's what goes through my mind at around every year around this time. you know you're going to cut these players. I mean, you had, you know, especially in the Steelers case, you've had to know if you're Kevin Colbert and Omar Khan and those guys that guys like William Gay and Mike Mitchell, you're going to cut. Where is, you know, it'd be nice to have you back in front of Kevin Colbert again to ask these kind of questions, but where do you suppose the value is in waiting till the very last minute to make cuts like these official? I mean, we've seen the Steelers before, you know, 3 or 4 days out make these kind of cuts. And whereas this year, even though we know the cuts are coming, they have not officially been announced. I assume that'll be later on today when they do that. Where is the benefit of not letting these guys free 3 or 4 days earlier so they could get a jump on the market?
You know, I saw you mention this last night on Twitter, and I have spent some time thinking about it. And I couldn't come up with anything, because you would say, the one thing you would say is, well, maybe by releasing players later, that disturbs the player pool a little bit. Now, you know, I'm reaching for straws here, so I realize this isn't a very strong response to this. But, you know, maybe it disturbs the player pool for other teams. I don't know, because you know you're not going to sign Mike Mitchell and William Gay. So they're not on your radar. So you would think you might want to put them on other teams' radar sooner so that they can – maybe somebody else, instead of looking at a safety that you're thinking about, maybe they think Mike Mitchell might be a good fit for them, and it would help – you know, it would benefit you in the slightest of ways. So I'm with you. I don't see any particular advantage unless you're playing the game that sometimes you play on game day and say, well, maybe the guy's going to sprain his knee getting off the bus, and you know you're not going to say he's inactive, or you're not going to make those decisions until right until game time. But you know, maybe the Steelers are just like, who knows what happens, you know, on Monday night or Tuesday night, and if something tragic were to happen, we'd still like to have these guys under contract. I don't have any good answers.
Yeah, I don't either. I've tried to think of, and like I said, it runs through my mind, you know, nearly every year at around this time, you know, someone I think responded back to me on Twitter and said, well, you know, trade bait. Well, okay, maybe, but I mean, is someone really going to trade for Mike Mitchell and his $5 million salary with 1 year left remaining on the contract, and the same for William Gay? I suppose you could come up with a unique situation 1 year with a certain player along those lines, you know.
All those names are out there. The league knows. I mean, nobody's. I mean, what's anybody going to give up? They know you have to get compliant within the cap. The other teams have to get compliant. They just, teams can't afford to make, you know, and Ndamukong Suh's going to get cut. You know, why not trade him? Well, they got their own cap issues to deal with, and all sorts of things. So again, it's a good answer to throw out there, because there doesn't seem to be any other answer. But yeah, it's quizzical.
And more than anything, a common courtesy, you know, let these guys get out there before, you know, free agency starts or whatnot. You know, it's an insignificant wonder, I guess, on my part. But, you know, it's just something that always seems to cross my mind this time of year. Now, the question becomes, you know, we know Gay, we know Mitchell. You know, we've now heard reports a couple different times that J.J. Wilcox will potentially be held, and there's been really no sign yet that his salary is going to be lowered. And, you know, if he makes it through the start of the new league year, which looks like he might, you know, Cody Sensabaugh as well, looks like he might survive, and you know, we haven't heard anything about Darius Heyward-Bey either. So, you know, what did Kevin Colbert say? A couple of veterans, you know, released. Well, it looks like we're right at a couple of veterans right now. So maybe those are going to be the only two names, but we won't know for sure really until probably later on this afternoon. But one thing we do know now is that. And all these have been expected. Chris Boswell has been given a second-round restricted tender by the Steelers. That was obvious, an obvious forthcoming thing that has now taken place. And outside linebacker Anthony Chiclo has received an original-round restricted tender for him. So it looks, and these are only two moves that have shown up on the salary cap that have been reflected on the salary cap report from the NFLPA so far. So, you know, I think those are going to be your last two restricted free agents tendered there. Obviously, with Chris Boswell, you would expect at some point later on in the summer for the Steelers to work out a long-term extension with him. I suppose they could do it with Anthony Chiclo as well. However, I'm not, you know, I guess you could flip a coin on that right now. It really, there's no urgency, I don't think, to do that. And I think what we...
To do what? A deal with Chiclo?
Yeah, they're really...
Yeah,
you know,
no urgency. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, if you do or if you don't, you know, it's not a big deal. But you look, we've seen...
You know, obviously, Dave, that means, you know, something we discussed, Eli Rogers isn't getting that tender.
Exactly, and that's where I was going with this, was Eli Rogers, it doesn't look like he's going to receive not even a you know, what they call a right of first, because he was an undrafted free agent, it would be the low 1.9 million right of first refusal tender, but it doesn't even look like he's going to get that. But with him coming off of the knee injury, not expected to get any attention during the free agent signing period. They might try to re-sign him later on after they see how he heals and all like that, but it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. Also, no surprise, you know, guys like Greg Ducrey and Fitzgerald Toussaint, you know, a couple other guys that are not going to receive restricted free agent tenders from the Steelers. So that's not a surprise either. So now basically all we're going to do now is sit and wait to see if the list of Mike Mitchell and William Gay grows by a player or two.
So, you know, here we are, and you look at the Steelers secondary, and I guess, you know, this probably didn't play out exactly like we thought. But I thought Wilcox was 50-50. You would have let him go. I think we both thought Mitchell was 50-50. Okay. Gay's not really a surprise, but, you know, you look at the Steelers situation with their defense now, and we talked about it for a couple months, the clear lack of depth at the linebacker position. With no James Harrison, with no Arthur Motes, with no Ryan Shazier, there are lots of spots open. Well, now you look in the secondary, and it's very similar. Whatever you think of Cody Sensabaugh, okay, but and you've got Cam Sutton, and you've got Brian Allen, but you've now opened up spots. Mike Mitchell's gone, William Gay's gone. we'll see where things go. But the needs that the Steelers had, what we thought were the big needs, you know, on January 1st or January 15th, clearly are the exposed needs now, and clearly the Steelers recognize it as well with the actions they've taken and have to some degree you know, heightened those needs with some of the roster moves they've made. We would expect to see some activity here in the next 24 hours. I think for the Steelers, I would expect to see them first day movers on the defensive side of the ball with I would be surprised, let's put it this way, Dave, if in the next 48 hours the Steelers haven't made one and possibly two signings on the defensive side of the football. I'm not talking about $8 million a year guys. I'm just talking about players under contract, which means if you get them in the first 2 days, they're also not going to be $1.5 million or, you know, a two-year $3 million deal. It's probably going to be more significant than that.
You know what? I'm going to let's make one of us right and one of us wrong here.
Fair enough.
Okay. Somebody's going to have.
That's usually the best we ever do.
At least we can claim we were right.
Yeah, the show was correct.
Right. That's the way around it. Well, we were right. We told you this was going to happen. Well, no. The more I look at this, David, and have you pulled up the, you know, there's various top 100, hot 100 free agent list, you know, already, you know, as is,
sure.
You know, circulating around Pro Football Talk. I usually like to follow like the Pro Football Talk one and the Pro Football Focus ones. When you go through that list, and the good thing about both of these, I think they're updated almost in real time, you know, as soon as these deals hit. You know, it's in my opinion, I was looking at a few of these lists yesterday. It's kind of underwhelming, if you ask me. And look, we've already had guys like, you know, the franchise tag guys, of course, and then you have guys like Ezekiel Ansah, franchise tag, Allen Robinson, wide receiver, already agreeing to terms with the Bears. You know, you just start going through some of these names. Richard Sherman, of course, already off the market. Sammy Watkins off the market.
By the way, great article if you haven't seen it. Just, you know, try to highlight these things. On Monday Morning Quarterback, Peter King wrote about the negotiation between the 49ers and Richard Sherman. And then in the Boston Globe, Ben Volen wrote an article about how Richard Sherman screwed up his negotiations so badly by acting as his own agent, and the San Francisco 49ers played into his ego and absolutely took him for a ride with the incentive structure of the contract, the whole deal. Now, in Sherman's deal, he's the only one has to think he got a good deal, and if he's happy, that's fine. But recommended reading Ben Volen's article based on the reporting that Richard Sherman gave Peter King on the contract negotiations. Pretty fascinating stuff, particularly if you're interested in the nitty gritty contract negotiating side of things.
And where I'm going with this, and yeah, I've read a little bit of the one about, well, look, I mean, Joe Thomas even came out, right, and said, Richard, you got taken advantage of there. But
I missed that. I didn't know that Joe Thomas came out.
Yeah, on Twitter, and Richard responded back to him. Go check out the Twitter feed of both those guys, Joe Thomas and Richard Sherman. Where I was going with this is you've already got guys like, and this is a guy that Alex Cazora even highlighted as maybe a potential ad for the Steelers, Dallas Cowboys or former Dallas Cowboys linebacker Anthony Hitchens. Was a guy that he kind of had circle. He's already agreed to terms with the Kansas City Chiefs this morning on a deal that's going to average $9 million reportedly, David. I mean, I don't think I would have pegged his value that high. And I guess where I'm overall trying to go here is, you know, as usual, it's a supply and demand situation here in the early days of free agency. And the supply is kind of eh. So, I think, and we'll talk a little bit more about the other position here, I still maintain that I think the Steelers are going to add an inside linebacker at some point within, let's say, the next 2 weeks or 10 days, okay? Remember, last year they didn't make their first signing until like 10 days, was it 9 or 10 days into free agency, and it was Justin Hunter was the first one that they signed. And then they went Cody Sensabaugh and who else? Nile, here was your first three free agents.
Yeah, Nile Davis, right. I thought Nile Davis was going to be part of the team for sure.
That was your first three ads last year. You want to talk about bad taste in your mouth? Then of course they added Tyson Lualu. I still stand by my assertion or speculation that they will sign an inside linebacker at some point in the first 9 or 10 days. I'm just not as convinced as you are. It's going to be the first 24 or 48 hours. Now, what about the other position, safety? It's real easy to connect the dots between the Steelers and Trey Boston. They had Boston in for a free. Here's something, you know, they had Boston in for a free agent visit. What, last May? Probably could have had him for a song. Let him get out of town, and of course he signed a 1 year deal with Los Angeles, and now he's back. He has a great season back on the market again. I just have a feeling, David, that Trey Boston, because of the lack of good quality free safeties out there on the free agent market, I think he's going to have a lot of suitors, and I think he's just going to be out. The Steelers normally don't win those kind of battles, and and it goes back to something Jerry Dulac continues to post this off season, and really something we've hit on for several weeks now. Dulac stands by his assertion that Steelers' plans are to move Sean Davis to free safety, okay? And, of course, you and I have talked about, Cameron Sutton, you know, maybe outside chance of Brian Allen. You know, I think with the release of Mike – I think what the Steelers are telling us, with the release of Mike Mitchell, and it sounds like them holding on to J.J. Wilcox, who is a better strong safety than he is a free safety. And, of course, you still got Robert Golden. You still have Jordan Dangerfield right now. And I'm not totally convinced that Sean Davis will be on the move. But I think in the back of the Steelers' head right now, if I were to guess, is that they think that they're okay at safety enough to go into the draft with. And thus, I don't think if they sign a safety, I think it's going to be way, way near the bottom end of people's want list. Now, I threw out there after Jerry Dulac posted that yesterday again about Sean Davis that, okay, if the Steelers are in, if, and that's a big if anyone, you know, if Cameron Sutton, if Brian Allen, or if Sean Davis are in the Steelers' plans to move to free safety, well, then I suppose you could say that the Steelers might be in the market for a strong safety, and that's why I threw out the name like a Kenny Vaccaro, okay? But even now, after trying to put pieces of this puzzle together, which there's not a lot of true tangible pieces floating around, if you will, I have a feeling that they're not going to address a big name safety, and I wouldn't be surprised if they don't even address a bottom of the end safety as well, David.
Yeah, look, we have focused on these positions, you know, from the beginning, from the almost from the moment, you know, a week or two after Ryan Shears got hurt, we've known what the Steelers' needs are, and that's very apparent. So nothing new, and we'll just sit here and kind of play the waiting game like everybody else. Dave, got a little bit of breaking news. We got a couple things coming across here, and the quarterback dominoes are falling kind of fast and furious. I mean, we heard last night that Case Keenum looked like he was going to be at Denver, and it feels like that's a done deal. Everybody expected the Drew Brees deal to get done with New Orleans, and that has. It looks like it's $50 million over 2 years, which is a little bit of a bargain for the Saints as an organization. And with Keenum to Denver, it looks like it's going to be a done deal and maybe a slightly less than expected money-wise for Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. But he's going up there tomorrow. It sounds like 3 years at $28 million a year. It's certainly not a below-market deal, but he didn't necessarily break the bank at above 30. Just curiously, if you're the Minnesota Vikings coming off the season you had and you had a choice, and look, I'm a Cousins fan, but if you had a choice of the three guys that you had there this past year, and it probably wasn't going to be Bradford because of his knee situation, but Bridgewater, Keenum, and Cousins, is it clear in your mind that they got the best quarterback available?
Oh, wow. You know, they've done some great breakdowns on this on the NFL Network on that free agent frenzy of the things that both those quarterbacks have been able to do. Look, you're giving Cousins $84 million, right? Here's the thing: has it been talent? Has it been coaching? Why hasn't Cousins been able to have, what is he, a game below 500 in regular season, something like that? Why haven't they been able to win more? Or why hasn't Cousins been able to win more?
Well, I mean, we can look at Drew Brees' three seasons before this and say, why weren't the Saints, you know, able to win at all? And obviously, it's a, you know, if you don't have enough talent around you, if your defense stinks, that's part of the reason. So,
and I guess,
certainly not Drew Brees. I'm not suggesting that.
I guess another thing to throw out there is the Redskins put back-to-back franchise tag on Kirk Cousins, and now they no longer think he's a, you know, just goes to show you, one team thinks he's a franchise quarterback, another team doesn't. So,
yeah, you know, and look, and talking about, look what Case Keenum did for the Vikings. And you say, you know, the devil you know. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Look, I think Kirk Cousins has put himself in that conversation on the back 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't think he's a top five guy. I don't think he'll ever be a top five guy. But I think he's better than the Andy Daltons and Joe Flaccos of the world today. Case Keenum, the jury's still out a little bit for me. I was impressed. We talked about it when he was here in Pittsburgh with how he was tough as hell. Now, he was throwing to some great receivers. And if you give Kirk Cousins an offense now with Diggs, with D-line, with the tight end that they have, you give him the running back who got hurt. Who's the kid from Florida? Is it Dalvin Cook? Him coming back who got hurt early in his first season. I mean, the Vikings are loaded with weapons and a decent offensive line. Kirk Cousins has an opportunity to really, as a very accurate passer, he has a chance to really shine with the Vikes, I think.
I understand why both teams are doing what they're doing, if that makes sense. I mean, obviously, what was Case Keenum, you know, before the Vikings, you know, that kind of thing. I would look at, I have no problem going all in on Kirk Cousins in Minnesota there.
Yeah, me neither. And but I'm a little, you know, I thought Denver. It sounded like a lot of people thought John Elway and Denver would go that route. Now, maybe they haven't given up on Paxton Lynch. It's hard to imagine that he's going to be the guy going forward. But you would think Denver's going to have to address this in the draft again here this year. So they go, you know, Keenum's your stopgap guy for a year or two. But you look again at the top of the draft. But it looks like Nate Solder's going to go to Denver. And be their starting left tackle. So that'll be obviously a big addition on their offensive line, which they've needed for a while. So that's a start there. And we see, you know, as you mentioned, Allen Robinson, how many years in a row is it now we've seen the Bears jump into free agency at the wide receiver position? We'll see if they can finally come up with somebody to help, you know, Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, and you have to think, Marcus Wheaton's due $5 million base salary, and he caught like three or four balls last year. You got to cut Marcus Wheaton, right?
Yeah, of course. I can't imagine. Imagine he makes it.
Yeah, I think any hour now we're probably going to see Marcus Wheaton released. Is that a guy that you would even entertain back in Pittsburgh for a minimum?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And I was a fan. I mean, if we could talk about guys, I know Tavon Austin, Manny Sanders, different guys have been, you know, anybody related to Pittsburgh somehow gets connected with the Steelers. But it'll be. Let me ask you this: it seems like years ago, it was a bunch of days ago when the Browns made all their moves. Here we are; the dust is settled. Tyrod Taylor's at quarterback. Jarvis Landry's one of their wide receivers now. They get the safety, Randall from Green Bay.
Yeah.
Kizer moves on to Green Bay. They move Shelton to New England. They've made a lot of moves here. They still have the picks at the top of the draft. Best guess today, with knowing that, you know, Tyrod Taylor's here for the, you know, at least the stopgap quarterback, they're going to draft one. Do you think Saquon Barkley goes at the top of the draft, or they take a quarterback at the top of the draft?
Quarterback.
Yeah, it's going to be. I'm torn because I feel like if you're at all indifferent between, you know, the top three or four guys, you know, one of them's going to be there at four. If you don't mind somebody else making it, if you want to take Barkley one, you know, only two guys can go before you. It's only possible that two guys can go before you. So if you had three guys rated equal, I wonder if, you know, would you take Barkley or would you say, well, we have this quarterback just slightly ahead of the other two, so we have to take him. And then you're probably, well, I don't know, you could still get Barkley at four. But it's an interesting, if you love Barkley and you like one quarterback, it's an interesting dynamic. Obviously, you take the quarterback first if you love a quarterback. But if I'm a Browns fan, I'd love to see Barkley with the rest of the talent they have there with can you look at the receivers now? Jarvis Landry, Corey Coleman, and of course Josh Gordon. You've got Njoku at tight end. You've got Duke Johnson. You got offensive talent to put around Tyrod Taylor with a pretty good offensive line.
Yeah, I put it to you this way. I'm gonna go on record right now. All right, I'm gonna call my shot. The Browns will not go winless in 2018.
I'm going to call them at least five wins today, and I'll reserve the right to raise that at some point during the offseason.
And look, I mean, are we going to see – I put this on Twitter the other day. A tweet a year from now, Browns release Tyrod Taylor. You know, look, you go back to top of the draft. You cannot risk. You got to go get your guy. If you have a quarterback and he's the top guy, you cannot settle for and say, well, one of these others will be here. You bet now is the time to go get your guy. And you know, I don't care if you have two guys, 1A or 1B. You go get 1A. Saquon Barkley, I think is going to have a great professional career, but you better go get your quarterback first. And that's about if you can get him with that second pick, okay, yeah, fine. But you better get the quarterback first, is my opinion on that. And look, I mean, tell you, tip of the cap to John. What's his name? Dorsey. He's getting stuff done, you know, shipping Danny Shelton off to the Patriots because they weren't going to pick up his fifth-year option, those kind of things. I mean, he's performing an exorcism of all several of the things that the past front office did, you know, with Sashi and all like that. So, I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, he's already got this, in my opinion, already in a better place than this team was last year. And, you know, we'll see if they're able to win 3, 4, 5 games or so.
Yeah, I think they will, and if they can add on the defensive side of the ball to what they have, I think they'll be a fun team to watch. And look, I know, you know, not all Steeler fans like hearing this, but football's better in Pittsburgh when the Browns are competitive and good. I realize that might make life more difficult for the Steelers, but it's no fun to watch a team, you know, in the division did go 1-15 or 0-16 year in and year out. So you like to see some turnover. Yeah, you want your team to be on top. I get it, but. Hell, I'd like to see the Browns be better than the Ravens for a while and better than the Bengals for a while. So I've got no problem with it.
Speaking of the Bengals, I mean, trading for trading down in the first round for Cordy Glenn, a kind of a guy that his career is kind of at a crossroads right now with him. And like I said, moving down in the first round to get a guy, I forget what he has, like a $9 or $10 million salary, and this all but confirms that Cedric Obogu, or you know, the tackle that they took in the first round a couple years ago, they're not going to pick up his fifth year option now, and you have the Fisher kid at the other tackle that you have to wonder what his future is going to be right now with the injury and all that he's had. They're not picking up Pac-Man Jones option. It doesn't sound like the Bengals could be at the bottom of the. At the bottom of the totem pole in 2018, and if the Baltimore Ravens don't get themselves some receivers here pretty soon during free agency, I don't know. It could be. What are the odds that the Browns finish with a better record than both the Ravens and the Bengals?
It's probably not 30% at this point in time. But give me, ask me in 2 months and. And, you know, you might have both the Bengals and Ravens at 6-10. And if they're both at 6-10, all of a sudden the Browns look like a lot better bet.
Put it to you this way. Would you put my money on either the Ravens or the Bengals finishing lower than the Browns in 2000?
At even money, I'd take a shot, sure, right now, just because I would think it's not a great bet. It's not a great bet. But I don't think it's a terrible bet either.
You could probably get pretty decent odds on such a thing, too.
I bet you could get 2-1. 2-1 is probably a good bet.
So there you go. That's the end of the Browns Depot segment.
So let me ask you this. Remind me again of how much guaranteed money Antonio Brown got.
$19 million in a signing bonus, and that, you know, he got a $900,000+ base salary, but I don't think that was fully guaranteed, and even if it was, still less than $20 million.
Sammy Watkins, 30 guaranteed by the Chiefs. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, the Steelers, and look, you know, Bill, you know, your buddy Bill Barnwell. I don't know.
He wrote some ugly stuff the past week.
Did you see? I mean, look, everybody's got a right to an opinion, and we'll see if he's right on this. But he threw out some contract numbers, what he thinks it would take a deal to get done with Le'Veon Bell, and he has a 4-year deal, I think, totaling $60 million. But he has the Steelers giving Bell a $20 million signing bonus,
and a
$7 million base salary. So $27 million in 2018. I'll be pretty shocked if they go that high in first year money on him. Really, I will. So.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't think this deal's getting done, so nothing's changed on that front.
I don't know since the last time we talked, though. I pointed to the fence now, David. I think
you did. I know it.
So once again, we'll be able to say we were right. on July 16, we'll be right. The show will be right. We told you.
We said so, regardless.
Right. I just, David, I just have a feeling. I think his family will play into this a little bit, you know, mom and all like that. He evidently was close to taking whatever deal he had. Yeah, he could play on the tag this year and hope he stays healthy and hope he has another great year and then find a team to give him maybe $30 million, you know, in 2019 total. But I think by listening to those couple of interviews of this last couple of weeks and all, and look, I've been wrong about him once. I thought, you know, there was a good chance I get a deal done with him last year. I really think he wants to stay in Pittsburgh, and I think, you know, call it what you will, cave or whatever. I think he gets a deal done by July 16th. Now, obviously, if he doesn't, then 2018 is going to be it for him because I mean, could there's no way they'd put a quarterback tag on him, in next offseason, that kind of thing. They would just have to let him walk then.
Oh yeah, there's zero chance, zero.
So I mean, I hate to keep kicking the Le'Veon Bell horse every 2 days, but that's
Andrew Norwell gets 5 years, $66 million, $30 million guaranteed for an interior lineman. Going to be the highest paid guard in the NFL at a $13.3 million average per season. Look, Norwell, everybody knew he was a very desired and going to be one of the big names in free agency to go early. Can I use the word shocked, or was somebody eventually going to get this money? It's just a matter of time before a guard got paid this much.
Yeah,
were you surprised he got this much?
No, not really, David. I mean, when you're the top of supply and demand, right? When you're the top and there's a limited good supply out there in free agency and you know, it goes back to these teams and the cash floor and you know, teams have got to spend, you know, 89% of the cap in cash over a course of a 4 year period. So a lot, look at the Browns last year with the thing with who was the quarterback?
Kaiser.
No.
What was the question?
Oh, the who was the quarterback from Houston that they traded for? Basically,
Deshaun Watson.
No, they traded.
Oh, Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, Osweiler. I don't know why I can't come up with that name all of a sudden. Yeah, you know, they just basically threw money at him. You know, and teams have the way the CBA and the cap and all this is set up, teams almost are obligated to throw cash at players. And so I'm not overly surprised with the deal Norwell got. Here's another little bit of piece of information. It'll be interesting to see these numbers too. Christian Jones, I think another linebacker a few people have had on their list that may be a potential guy for the Steelers, is going to, sounds like, according to Adam Schefter, going to sign a two-year deal with the Detroit Lions. So can't wait to see those numbers too. So this gets back into the kind of supply and demand thing. And are there even going to be any affordable inside linebackers out there? You know, the Davis with Denver, who's a free agent, I think's another guy that you know we have on some list floating around as well. So, you know, I that's why I'm a little bit less convinced that we'll see the Steelers in the next really 48 hours, or first 48 hours of free agency, do anything.
Oh, it's going to be – look, I'm still trying to catch up on all the – just kind of looking through the – you know, things are coming fast and furious on Twitter, and I hadn't seen some of the deals this morning. And they are going through – I guess the Sammy Watkins deal is, as some people scratching their head, that he's making as much as he did. I mean, the wide receiver class of 2014, you've got a bunch of guys making a ton of money now. It's Mike Evans. It's Sammy Watkins. I mean, you got five guys, I think, making about $15 million a season. There are obviously two things to compare there. One, that's obviously just still a step below Antonio Brown. And then when you look at the running back market and what guys are getting paid, everybody wants to make the comparison. Now everybody's seeing these numbers is looking and making the comparison to what Le'Veon Bell's asking. The reality is, look, Le'Veon Bell should then go play wide receiver. You know, if he thinks he can go out there and catch 80 balls for, you know, 1,200 yards, and whatever, go play wide receiver, be a wide receiver, because clearly they're paying that position. and they're not paying the running back position. And I don't think it's gonna change. But it will be interesting with some of these numbers that guys are getting. You know, if you're with Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans getting $15 million a year, and Sammy Watkins being a guy who's I think it's pretty fair to argue, as much as I like Sammy Watkins, he certainly hasn't lived up to the hype of a number four overall draft pick, and he played in a pretty damn productive wide open offense last year. I can't imagine the numbers are going to get better next year with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. And you know, they got Kelsey, they got Tyreek Hill, so maybe they do. Maybe he's a great third weapon or second weapon in that offense for and maybe he'll put up the 1,400 yard season that he's yet to put up yet.
You know, I'm looking at my kind of the short list that I had put together for inside linebacker. You know, and added Anthony Hitchens that Alex suggested as well too. Hitchens is already off the market.
$9 million a year. It doesn't sound that unreasonable to me. Some people think that's incredibly high. For those who don't remember, Hitchens, obviously with the Cowboys, I think he's a very good player. I think $9 million a year is it sounds to me like a reasonable number, Dave.
And like I did, Christian Jones was on my list. You can.
Who was it? Tell me again. Was it the Bears who signed Hitchens? Who signed him?
The Chiefs.
The Chiefs. Okay, right. He's gonna obviously with Derek Johnson, Tamba Ali. They need linebackers as well.
All right, so Christian Jones is now off the market. We'll see what happens here with Zach Brown, Avery Williamson, DeMario Davis, and Tahir Whitehead. You got to think DeMario Davis, if a guy like Hitchens got what he got, DeMario Davis probably got to be right up in that area. Avery Williamson, we might get back down to our list being Zach Brown again.
I was signing up for Zach Brown last year, and I'll sign up for Zach Brown tomorrow or today or whatever day you need to sign up for, with him.
Well, why didn't the Steelers sign up for him last year?
I think they made a mistake. I think now it's clear in hindsight they made a mistake.
Well, then they made a mistake with Trey Boston too, didn't they?
I think they made a mistake. You're not going to foresee Ryan Shazier's injury. So the question is, look, the player has to want to come too. And if they're told, I don't think either of those guys necessarily was going to sign up to be a backup maybe. But, clearly you would think people would be jumping at the opportunity to sign with the Steelers, maybe for a dollar less than another team, because you're not guaranteed a starting job, but you're pretty damn close to guaranteed a starting opportunity right out of the chute. You're certainly you get the opportunity to compete for a starting job.
All right, now that we've talked a little bit, we've talked about a few names. Are you still willing to go on record as the Steelers making a linebacker or safety signing in the first 48 hours?
Yeah, I'm going to stick to that, yep.
Okay, all right. List is, so we're not even to the start of new league year. This thing's, a few people suggested the kid, out of Denver and Davis and all like that. Here's the thing. Let's address the other elephant in the room, Lawrence Timmons.
I gotta say no. I know this isn't fair. Obviously our job isn't always to be fair. It's to have opinions and try to make educated guesses. Dave, what happened with him off the field last year at the beginning of the season? Look, the Dolphins stood by him, and good for them. And he played the season, and it gave them an opportunity to get out of the contract. It was a real benefit to the Dolphins that he had this AWOL thing. But to me, I don't know. That's odd. Maybe it's a mental health thing, and maybe it's nothing, and maybe I should ignore it. But that's kind of weird that what happened there. And the guy's now 32 years old. Look, if you want to sign him as a James Harrison type depth guy behind another guy and behind a guy you're going to draft, okay. But I am not signing Lawrence Timmons to be my starting inside linebacker at 32.
Yeah, and how big of a fan? I mean, Lawrence Timmons is one of my all-time favorite Steeler players for the way he played on and off the field. But, look, and I caught a little bit of flack saying, posting yesterday that You know, the Steelers might, because he's not an every down linebacker anymore, the Steelers might not even want him back for the minimum. And I got a little bit of pushback. You know, if you're signing him to be your backup, he's not going to play special teams, right? I mean, you know, you're not going to put him out there on special teams. And generally, your backup linebackers better be able to play special teams. And look, I mean, if he's going to be a backup buck, behind Vince Williams, then that pushes Tyler Matakavich further down the list, and Tyler Matakavich can definitely give you some stuff on special teams. So, yeah, I mean, and look, I mean, it's easy to connect the dots, right? Well, Lawrence Timmons just goes back to Pittsburgh on a one-year veteran minimum deal. That might happen, but I can't say that I'll be on board for that, in support of that if it does happen. And really, I mean, we'll see. We'll know real quick, I think. If I was a betting man, I'd say it doesn't happen.
Yep, I'm with you. I'm on the no side of that. Any of these running backs intrigue you? Look, you know, Deion Lewis is going to get. You know, he's not the market. He's going to get $5 million from somebody. He's going to be somebody somewhere else. But the guy, you know, the Ravens, Danny Woodhead's going to be a guy who's out there. You know, he's getting released for cap reasons. There are other guys who have been interesting guys out there. It looks like Gio Bernard's not going to be on the market from the Bengals. He's going to still be in Cincinnati. But, we haven't really talked about the running back market. Are the Steelers in the market for a running back? Are they just going to look in the draft? What do you think? Do the Steelers sign a running back in free agency?
If they do, it will be, I think, along the lines of a Nile Davis type thing there. Because
yeah.
I mean, they
sure not gonna spend more than $3 million on a back for sure.
Right, it would be a minimum salary guy to compete, and give you a little bit maybe protection in case something happened. You know, James Conner or something like that. But I mean, they drafted James Conner to be the backup, so assuming that he's healthy enough to be the backup, he's going to be the backup. So I just can't see him going out there and signing a guy more than the minimum. If they do sign a guy for the minimum, that guy better be able to play special teams as well too. And none of that prevents the team from – I think the team might address the position in the draft again on day three, David. You know, in my latest mock draft, I have the kid out of Arizona State, Ballage, possibly ending up with the Steelers. I think it could go either way. These mock drafts that have the Steelers drafting a running back in the first round, I think, are ludicrous. And really, there's no reason I don't think to draft one in the first four rounds. Now, if you want to draft one round five, six, seven that can play special teams and be a number three running back for you, I'm okay with that.
I think they will draft a running back. Certainly, if they don't, they'll sign one of the UDFAs. They'll sign one immediately after the draft. But you know, they're going to have some bodies coming in that aren't on the roster for sure. And that'll be it. Just be. Well, I don't know. I don't think it'll be indicative because you know, look, either Le'Veon Bell's going to sign a long term deal and he'll be back, or he's not going to sign a long term deal and he won't be back. It's very binary. It's not going to be one or the other. So the Steelers have to approach this season like they're gonna add somebody else to that group, whether Stephen Ridley gets another look or we can talk about all the potential names that are going to be out there. But it wouldn't shock me here if in the second week of free agency the Steelers signed somebody. Local guy who was mentioned a little bit when it was announced, Paul Posluszny just announced he's retiring. Jags linebacker, 11 years in the NFL. So, you know, it was a name that some people talked about, an inside linebacker. Would you sign him to a one-year deal? Don't have to worry about that possibility. He has told the NFL, or at least told the Jags, that he's hanging up his cleats. Good career for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Several people they should know better than to have Paul Posluszny on the list because of his age. But, definitely a good career. Okay, true or false? The Steelers will sign a free agent this offseason during – you know, between now and the main period, June 1st, over the age 27 years or older.
27 years or older. I'll say yes. Yeah, 27 or older. If you had gone 29 or older, I might have said no. But 27 gives me two good years, two very productive prime years. So yeah, 27 or older, yes.
I will go no, false. I will go false with that. They definitely not sign. I mean, 29 or older. Look, they have a long history of just staying. Unless a player has, and look, Lawrence Timmons doesn't count if he signs now. I'm talking about outside free agents. So, and the Steelers have a history of, unless it's a former player, they stay away from those wrong side of 30 guys there. So I will go.
Look, most teams aren't signing guys over 30. So this isn't a newsflash, right? I mean, most guys in the NFL are under 30 years old. But you hit guys in free agency, and they may have Lawrence Timmons of the world. They may have a productive year or two left. Teams hope, and they'll take shots on them. But yeah, most guys are under that threshold.
Well, how old's Richard Sherman?
I think he's 1 year older than Joe Hayden. But I mean, look, we are talking about a guy who's, one of the best players in the NFL. I mean, but he's not most guys.
He turns 30 in end of this month, Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
I just, people are going to get mad, and I'm going to probably torment the hell out of them on Twitter, but be prepared to twiddle your fingers the next several days is all I've got. Look, I mean, I would love to see them go in and get an inside linebacker that could start in the meantime, because Kevin Colbert has said, whether or not you blame him, not impactful inside linebacker class this year. So for whatever that's worth. Now, obviously, you can address both the safety and inside linebacker position during free agency, and it still doesn't prevent you from drafting either one of those positions. Okay, another true or false. The Steelers will draft a wide receiver within the first four rounds of the draft.
That's a really interesting question. I think because of where they are, I think that's a true, and I think the fourth round's probably a good bet, because it's unlikely in 2019 Martavis Bryant will be back. Certainly you're really only going to have help me if I'm wrong here. You're going to have Juju and Antonio Brown. I mean, Eli Rogers is a massive question mark even for 2018 at this point. So, your depth at the receiver position is limited. It's a position you have to keep adding year after year. So, look, I don't think we'll see it in the first two rounds. I'd even be pretty strongly say I don't think we'll see it in the third round. But fourth, fifth round for sure. I don't think we'll see the Steelers go in free agency. But, you sign a guy like Justin Hunter, and it's a non-event. It's just an insurance policy against injury on the cheap. So guys like that, borderline roster filler players, I don't look at one way or the other. That's not filling your depth for 2019. So I think the Steelers need to keep taking shots, and they've had such great success in the middle rounds with receivers that, I don't know why you wouldn't keep trying.
And they have no fourth-round pick right now either, right?
right. That's a good point.
So is this a year that maybe Kevin Colbert takes one of them fifths and a seventh and goes up to the fourth or something like that to get a wide receiver that falls? Probably doubtful. But look.
I'm interested to see what happens. And I'm assuming I didn't miss any news here. What happens with Manny Sanders in free agency? I don't know what kind of money he's going to get. Is he a $5 million a year guy? Is he now old enough that he's not quite worth that much? How many years does he get? I mean, he's still an incredibly talented guy who does a lot of things well. Maybe he's not at the elite of his own physical capabilities, but he is you think about Manny Sanders just as a route runner and a blocker, and I don't know what his market is, and I haven't really thought that much about it, but I'm interested to see what happens with him.
Well, he's still under contract.
He is, but isn't it – I widely assumed that the Broncos were going to release him. Is that not the prevailing thought now?
I would be surprised. I mean, what would they do over there?
Yeah, okay, maybe that's what's changed, and maybe that's why I haven't seen much about it lately. Because I just from the Troy Rank and the guys who were writing about the Broncos early in offseason, it was okay, man. Sanders likely to be a cap casualty, but maybe that thinking's changed.
Boy, I mean, I don't know. Maybe deep down inside, he hopes he does, because he would get paid instantly, you know.
Yeah, I would think. You know, he'd be one of the guys out there you'd want to pay.
Yeah, I will be surprised. I'll be a little bit surprised if he hits the market there, to be quite honest with you, David. For sure. Look, back to the wide receiver thing, man. You know, all you have, and you hit on it right now, technically is past this year is Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster, because, like it or not, Martavis Bryant is gone after this year. Gone. So, I mean, you need to go ahead and get – and look, I mean, Justin Hunter, even if they re-signed Justin Hunter to another one-year minimum contract, yeah, he might not even – no guarantee he make the roster this time around. Darius Hayward, bless his heart. Sooner or later, your special teams value runs out, and I think this is a year for that as well. So I will not be shocked. I've been mocking them a wide receiver, but in the fifth round. So I could definitely see them drafting one. You know, something like the Washington kid out of Oklahoma State. I could see them doing that maybe even in the second round, David, to be honest with you. So right now, if pressed right now, they'll definitely draft a wide receiver, and I'll go ahead and say true to in the first three rounds. So I guess that means I need to put one in my next mock in the first three rounds.
Okay, fair enough. What else has been happening in the AFC North? I mean, we hit on everything the Browns did. Anything else that the Bengals and Ravens that we didn't touch on?
Danny Woodhead cut loose by the Ravens. Like I said, what are they going to do at wide receiver over there? You know, are they going to keep Macklin another year? And if they do, so what, right? They need some help over there at wide receiver, I think, in the Ravens there. I'm trying to think what else. Nothing really to report, I don't think, on the Bengals. It sounds like the Ravens are not going to pick up the option on that one tackle of theirs either. So I guess that's worth passing along. We have one little bit of Steeler news, very relevant Steeler news to talk about, David. And Alex and I hit on this on the podcast the other day. Alex and I went through, David, and created a list, an early list, trying to narrow down, saying one of these 10 guys is going to be the Steelers draft pick, okay? And I had Wake for I think I twisted Alex's arm into putting Jesse Bates, the free safety out of Wake Forest, on that list. And at that time, Alex and I talked about wondering if indeed the Steelers would show up at the Wake Forest Pro Day, which is today. Well, lo and behold, Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin, reportedly according to Tony Pauline of DraftAnalysis.com, Colbert and Tomlin both had dinner with Jesse Bates Monday night, and I haven't spotted Kevin Colbert yet at the Wake Forest Pro Day, but Mike Tomlin is there, and boy, is he being photographed. So I think you have to now not, you know, several probably of our listeners probably already had Jesse Bates as a first-round option prior to all this, but now I think because of the attention they gave him at the combine, based on the need for the Steelers, based on Colbert and Tomlin both showing up at the pro day having dinner, yada yada, I think Jesse Bates is in firm contention now to be the Steelers' first round draft pick. Now, let me go back to this list of 10 players that Alex Kozora and I created the other day. And it's basically a true or false. I put this on my Friday night five questions as well, too. I realize you're obviously, David, I understand you're a little bit maybe behind on several of these guys, but I think you're going to recognize a lot of these names regardless. I'm going to name these 10 players for you, and you're going to give me a true or false or whether or not one of them is going to be the Steelers' first-round draft pick this year. Justin Reed out of Stanford, the safety. Rashawn Evans, the inside linebacker out of Alabama. Leighton Vander Esch, the inside linebacker out of Boise State. Mike Gesicki, tight end, Penn State. Harold Landry, the edge rusher out of Boston College. Ronnie Harrison, the safety out of Alabama. Jesse Bates III, who I just mentioned, the safety out of Wake Forest. Josh Sweat, an edge out of FSU. Sam Hubbard, an edge out of Ohio State. And Hayden Hurst, a tight end out of South Carolina.
You didn't put the Goddard, the tight end out of South Carolina State, South Dakota State, on there, huh? The short answer is the money is – I like the list a lot. The money's bet no. On the list, I think Landry's probably gone by the time – I mean, he's the most obvious guy who I think will be off the board at that point in time. I think the rest of the guys are right in there. Evans is kind of the easy name to point to. But, yeah, I think it's a good list. I mean, you know, just on a – there's not a name that I would jump out. I would probably take Landry off because I think he's going to be gone and think about somebody else to add. I actually like the Gesicki pick because I think he is a dark horse first round pick for the Steelers. I mean, I think his athleticism is off the chart. Another big target in the red zone that they could go to. So I like his addition a lot. You know, the inside linebacker names and the big time safety names I'm familiar with. Didn't know the edge guy that you mentioned. So yeah, you know, I like the list. But right. I still would have to go false just because that, you know, that's the betting way to go, right?
Right. The field's a better way, right?
Yeah, of course, right.
I don't know. For an early stage for this stage of the off season of where we're at in the NFL calendar, for to be able to come up with a list of 10 with some level of confidence in it, I like it. I'm going to go ahead and go on record now and say that one of these 10 guys the Steelers will draft in the first round. And I mean, obviously, you know, got a long way to go in the process. So, but I thought it was interesting that. Let me ask you this: is a tight end going to come off the board before the Steelers pick at 28 overall?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, David. And boy, Gesicki, it'd be an interesting pick for sure if they went tight end in the first. One other thing I wanted to hit on that I had on my notes here real quick on the heels of William Gay being out the door. And, of course, I mean, call Cody Sensabaugh what you will. Will the Steelers address the cornerback position at any point during the draft, or should they?
It's not a high priority. No, I don't think Brian Allen's moving. I think Sutton's there. So Sensabaugh's on the roster. They got enough other needs. It's if you take one late, fine, but I don't see, you know, in their early picks. I wouldn't take it in their first four or five picks.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to fit one into a mock draft right now, even in the back end too. They're going to take a defensive tackle, right? If you were a betting man late.
You're going to take an offensive lineman. You know, I don't know how you want to characterize the individual, but you're going to take an offensive lineman.
All right, you're not going to take a defensive lineman in round one, right?
Not unless there's something silly happens. No.
Right, and I guess you can make arguments for a certain player or two, defensive lineman falling to you in the second round, but you know how the Steelers are, David, with these first and second round guys. They like to get them on the field, right? You know. As soon as they can. So a defensive lineman in the first two rounds, it's just you barring an injury, it'd be so hard to get that player a lot of snaps during the rookie season there. Whereas, you know, obviously a safety or an inside linebacker, you can get on the field, you know, a lot quicker there. So anyway, I like that list of 10 that we came up with. And as far as cornerback goes, we'll see. I would lean toward them not drafting one this year after drafting two of them last year. But, you know, you've got kind of a – and look, if you're going to draft a nose tackle this year, it's easy already to connect the dots that Joshua Frazier out of Alabama, the Steelers dying with him, and probably another Alabama player at least when they're at the Alabama Pro Day last week there. So I don't know. I think we beat this one up pretty good.
Sounds good. Yeah, good stuff. And obviously, this is it's just fun time to take a look at the league all around and see how teams address their needs, feel what they need to do, and you know we all jump to conclusions about what are good deals and what are good bad deals, and we'll really have a won't have a good idea on that until you know 10 months from now. But it's certainly fun to talk about.
All right, so remember, folks. David has a hit. Are you going to count a minimum salary guy as a hit in the first 48 hours?
No, I'd be shocked if actually a minimum salary guy, if the Steelers actually even use cap space to sign a minimum salary guy, or if virtually any team does that's not their own in the first 48 hours. Everybody's got bigger fish to fry.
All right, so but we let's say 48 hours. The free agency starts on Wednesday at 4, so we won't have quite have hit the 48 hours by Friday. But we'll probably have.
We'll call it Friday at noon, so that'll be around when we're finishing up. Let's say.
All right, I like my odds even better. All right, I think all of the listeners know where we kind of stand on a couple issues as we stand now. In the meantime, I invite you to check out SteelersDepot.com, where we're tracking damn near everything that happens here right now. Not only with the Steelers, but with a few other AFC North teams as well. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. You can follow the show at Terrible Podcast. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you like what we do and you want to donate to the cause, go to SteelersDepot.com, hit that donate button, upper right navigational bar. And David, I hope to talk to you Friday.
Good stuff. And as always, enjoy the start of the feeding frenzy. Thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.